Excited to know that the song, and some of you who grew up in the church, you've heard that song over and over again, that great is thy what? Faithfulness. I mean, y'all glad to know that is absolute truth. That God never wavers. He's always who he's going to be. The God that was worshipped in scripture of yesterday is the God that's present in this moment today. Now, let me give you the good news. And that will be the God that returns on that great day and brings us all to the house. So how's the week been? How did y'all enjoy the half inch of snow that we had? That was enjoyable. How many of y'all have learned this? Life is unpredictable. It's just unpredictable. And that's okay that life is unpredictable, because guess what? Jesus is predictable. So if you want to get out of the chaos, that's not going to be by you being removed from the situation. It's going to be by you trusting the God that's going to get you through all situations. So here's what I want you to know. Chaos is a part of life. So I just want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are some chaos. Go ahead and just tell me, you are some chaos. You are some chaos. See, that'll get that fight going you didn't finish this morning. Yeah, you're some chaos. Well, hold on. Hold on. Now, I'm going to see. Now, y'all did that pretty strong. I just want you to know. You did that a lot stronger than 8 o'clock did. Some of them brothers in 8 o'clock, they'd already gotten in trouble early this morning, because they looked at their wife and went, you're some chaos. I could tell, come on, been into it. But you know what? Now let's go to the next stage, though. I want to see if you can confess this, because this is what lights the place up. You're also some glory, those of you that are in Christ. So go ahead and tell them, and go ahead and tell your neighbor, you are some glory. You're some glory. So now, really, how many of y'all realize that in this place today, we got some chaos and we got some glory? Is that not life? Is that not life? That's life. Now, for those of you that are new to Hillview, if you want a preacher that lies to you, you're in the wrong church. Here's some of the lies of the church. Good people go to heaven. Not true. Good people go to hell too. True. It's true. See, I want you to hear the truth. Jesus Christ is the sole source of salvation. Amen. And some of you today, guess what? You're sitting right here today because Jesus brought you here today so that you might be saved. Is that not overwhelming? Last week, we saw 39 people be baptized spontaneous in the life of this church. God's on the move. You ought to give him glory for that. You ought to give him glory for that. I'm going to tell you where I am. If that doesn't move you, you need to rethink your own salvation. I'm on a mission. It's time to get rid of nominal church. I'm scared in a healthy way. Healthy scared. Healthy scared. Okay? Just some of this stuff we've preached over the last 100 years, it's not going to cut it. You know, we've told people, come to church, be a nice person, and you'll be all right. Would you tell me what Bible that's in? Because it's sure not the one I read in, but I heard that all the time. We've kind of agreed to gather. We think as long as we gather and we're nice and have some nice morals, whatever we agree upon, it's nice morals, then everything's going to be all right. And that's not the gospel. The gospel says, hold on, you and I are a part of a holy invasion. Pretty wild, isn't it, Lori? You have been invaded by God's grace. How many of y'all have been invaded by God's grace? This is an upheaval. And you know what God does? He forgives us our sin so that we don't have to go on sinning. And now we might become an illustration of God's activity. I want to start there. And I want you to confess this to your neighbor, please. Everybody cooperate. You've been wonderful this morning. Yeah, I just want you to look. Saved or not saved yet, you're still a part of God's activity. So I want you to look at your neighbor, your worship partner there, and just say, you are a part of God's activity. Come on, fess it up. We're confessing this morning. You are a part of God's activity. Now, hold on. There's a deep question here today. Are you activated? You are a part of God's activity, but are you active? Are you active? Are you active? Now, here's the deal. you are empowered. But here's what I found. You can have power and not have activity. People always told me in school, teachers always told me I had potential. My grade card told me I was not using it. Any of y'all ever been in that situation? You know, that's just a cop-out word for you didn't cut it. I mean, I'd take my parents. Remember, the parents go to school now. They're there every day because they're mad that you gave your child a bad grade. It was different back in my day. How many of y'all grew up in this day where your parents got mad at you for making a bad grade? It wasn't the teacher's fault. It was your fault. It's a really crazy philosophy to actually expect people to be accountable for their own actions. It's a foreign thought. But back in the ancient days, before there were cell phones, there were these attitudes that you caused it to happen and you should have the consequence. My mom and dad, and I hated it when my mom and dad both would go visit the teacher. I liked it better when just my mother went and visited the teacher because she knew deep down inside I was a good boy somewhere. My father only knew one thing. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. See what I'm saying? And the teacher would always say, and I hate it when my name is used like this. Anytime I hear my formal name, I've never had a good situation. Stephen is not living up to his potential. I thought about this litany. And in church, I just want to expose this to something. Hillview Heights Church, we're not living up to our potential. Would you agree? Everybody, please don't feel guilty or bad because I probably could walk into any of our churches and say we're not living up to our potential and I would be accurate. And I want us to go to Acts, first chapter. We're going to be in Acts. We'll be in here all year, so just read the... But we're going to preach through Acts with great fortitude and truth. And today, guess what? We're going to preach on Jesus, and some of y'all are going to get saved here who need to be saved. Some of y'all are going to decide to be baptized. I want you to be sealed up and get going. Have you all kind of noticed at the 1st of January... Have I brought this clear to you? This is not a moment of history to be playing around with God. Have you all kind of logged on to my setting here? Now listen, I don't want to scare you, but I will awake you. The Middle East has totally rearranged everything in its existence in a matter of 16 days. Now that ought to alert you. Even if you're slow, you ought to be alert. And go, wait a minute, there's some things changing rapidly. Now, as things have been reoriented, guess what? God has been strong on the move across the world. Have y'all noticed that? We had kind of had a Holy Ghost upheaval in here, didn't we, last Sunday? I hope we have one today, too. Well, what's God saying? I am bringing my people to where they need to be. And so, Hillview, here's what I want to tell you. God's already brought us where he needs us to be. We're not in the bringing phase anymore. Have you all caught this after the first of the year? We're in the releasing to the world phase. I look at Hillview like this. God's gathered the team. We're on our 20-year mark. 20 years, God gathered the team. And now what God's going to do is release this team to his activity for the next, I feel maybe I have 20. I don't know. But if I have 20, I know by the end of 20, I'll be hobbling up here, okay? But guess what? God is going to release each one of us to become his activity. So I want you to begin to get that this morning. You are a part of God's activity. Everything you're about begins to illustrate there is a God who's living. His name is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I love having a real faith. How many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus Christ is real and it's active and it changes things? You may be wondering here today, why in the world do I need to follow Jesus Christ? My first great thing would be this. You will finally be forgiven. You will finally have the realization of forgiveness. You can spend the rest of your life trying to forgive yourself, and all you'll be at the end of your life is a limping old person trying to forgive yourself. And here's why. You and I can't forgive ourselves. That's why it's such a hang up. I hear that so much, especially among my generation. Pastor Steve, I could just forgive myself. I could get on. I said, man, you're in a good spot. Have you realized you can't do that? Have you realized you can't forgive yourself? I said, let me give you some good news. He who made you is willing to forgive you. Whoa! That's some news. Because I cannot what? Can't forgive myself. How many of y'all have ever tried that, to forgive yourself? How'd it go?
What'd you keep doing? Come on, get honest with me today. Y'all can talk back to me. I mean, Lord have mercy. Y'all got 130 churches. If you want to sit there and stare at a preacher you could go to today, let's talk. You got 130 opportunities in this county to sit and stare. We're moving on. Some of y'all going to leave. You know why? Because you're going, man, airs is up in my face. Hey, it's going to get worse than that. Holy Spirit's going to get up in your spirit, in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, and you're going to be reoriented to the things of God instead of your stuff. And guess what people are going to think about you? You crazy. Now, here's what I want you to know. For 46 years, people have thought that about me, and I have slept well at night. I hope you will be crazy in Jesus. We could use a little Patsy Cline faith in here. Y'all need to get crazy in love with Jesus. Y'all know that song, Crazy. Huh? You remember that? You need to get crazy in love with Jesus because watch this. This is amazing. It's amazing. We sit here sometimes just numb to the power of the Word of God. It is amazing. The God who created us is crazy in love with us. I don't get that. Because I'm not in love with me, and I can't understand how God could be in love with me because I do some real boneheaded things. Any of y'all do some boneheaded things? Even following Jesus, I just do some stupid things. Here's my only hope. I have read the Bible and been to Bible study. Been where? Where some of y'all need to get. But y'all mumbled that. Y'all sound like a Pentecostal church that had gone south. We got to know this Bible. When you know this Bible, you'll know when you're being a part of God's activity and when you're just doing your own thing. God wants you to do His thing. In fact, He has saved you, built you, and remade you to be a part of heaven. What do you think about that? Just tell them, John, you're a part of heaven. Suzanne, you believe that? Sometimes. All right, there you go. Okay, right, huh? Huh? How many of y'all glad to know you're a part of heaven? You're a part of heaven. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. We're gonna delve into five verses today. That's all we got time for. And I'm praying God gets us out before 3 o'clock on these five verses, all right? He will. Theophilus writes. Theophilus is the author of the Gospel of Luke. And he said, now I have already informed you about Jesus' teaching and activity. Now the book of Acts says, now that you have been informed, inspired, and you understand, God is going to send the power of the Holy Spirit into you so now you can be empowered to be a part of God's activity. So here's where I'm taking you to, guys. I'm glad to know there's great hope in Jesus Christ. And I pray that we begin to release those things. You see, when you really start believing this, this is great. This week, guess what? In our church, we've prayed that people would be healed. Guess what happened to them? They were healed. We prayed that people get through death. Every week we see this at Hillview. Sickness, death, healing, and salvation. That's the work of the kingdom of God. Every week, 52 weeks, 24/7. Because you know what? The world has chaos, but the world also has God's glory. And God's glory doesn't necessarily take away the chaos. But it'll go through the chaos and reorder it to become a part of God's activity. Hold on, I'll explain this. How many of y'all have ever had something happen in your life you thought it was going to be a bad thing and it ended up being a good thing? How many of y'all had something at first that looked like this was going to be a disaster and it ended up being a blessing? I see that every Sunday. It's called you all. When I stepped into Hillview Heights Church 20 years ago, there was 30 folks here. There wasn't any money here. It didn't look like any possibilities here. The buildings were ugly. The parking lot was small. And all the great church experts were saying a great church would never happen here. These were experts from Nashville who had never grown a church, but they'd read books on growing churches. And they said a church could never grow here. That was the encouragement I got coming here. I was real excited. I had a graduate degree and God had sent me to 30 broke people. I was like, gee, God, can't we get 100 with a little salary? And to be honest, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come. Not because I didn't know you yet. See what I'm saying? It was nothing against the 30 people. It was like, God, send me someplace nice like Florida. I was trying to help God out. Elizabeth had already gotten her Florida nursing license. She was really ready to help God out. I thought I'd done my term. I'd done ministry out in the rural area. I'd paid my initial early ministry dues, you know, to go to a church where nobody wants to do anything, but you go there anyway because that church has been there for 50, you know, to 200 years. And the original members are still there, frozen in time on a pew. And you preach to them the power of the Word of God, and they say, amen, put in $2. We even had a guy that used to wad his dollar up in the offering. He could take a dollar bill and make it the size of a Tic Tac. It'd take you $5 to unfold his dollar. You know what I mean? I mean, and I'm like, good Lord, if this is your church, God, no wonder everybody's going to hell. I'm serious. And God enlightened me. He said, that's not my church, and it's not your church, and my church is waiting to be revealed. Here's what's interesting. I have found more of God's church outside the buildings we call church than inside the buildings we've called church. The church is not located in a square footage location, but it's located in those who are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, who are willing to follow the Christ. So the church, the bride of Christ, is being made constantly, awaiting that moment for the groom to call her down the aisle. I do believe this, and this is all I'm going to say about it. If you push me any more, I'm just going to give you the same answer. I do believe wedding preparations are in progress. Now, here's the only problem. I don't know how long it takes to get ready for the wedding. You know, it may take 1,000 years to move the furniture. If it takes as long as some of these brides do to come down the aisle around here, it could be another 2,000 or 3,000 years. But all I'm saying is the wedding has been prepared since the beginning of this moment. God's coming back to get those he has chosen to save. That's everybody that will repent of their sins. I mean, I'm glad to know that Jesus chose you. Look what you've already learned this morning. You're called to God's activity. You've been forgiven by God's grace. And God has chosen to send his son Jesus to remake your life. Now the deep question is this. Will I respond to God? So church, this is a very encouraging moment in Acts. We're going to learn what it means to be God's activity. I want to tell you this. Every one of you are important. Every one of you, you carry the glory of God and the potential of God's kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to push you, love you, challenge you, and encourage you to release what God has in you to the world. Okay? Let me help you with this. You didn't get just saved to sit and soak. God didn't forgive you your sins so you could stand there and go, well, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved. I'd like to give my testimony. When I was 9, I got saved. I'm 90, and here's your testimony. When I was 9, I got saved. Well, you forgot the rest of the Bible. I have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and now. How many of y'all, I've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and now. See, that's the rest of the testimony. And now these things are occurring in my life. That's the book of Acts. Because Jesus Christ is resurrected, the book of Acts is now in motion. Turn with me to the first chapter, the first verse, and we begin to discover. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and what? Teach. Huh? The Gospel of Luke. There the physician Luke is writing, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did what? Begin to teach. I told you who Jesus was. So we need to study the gospel so we can learn who Jesus was and is. And now we study the book of Acts so that we can learn about what we need to be about. I'm telling you, I just got to warn you, the devil has suckered the church. And you know what? The devil does more work in the church than he does at the bar. Why? Well, it don't take much at the bar to get people to do what you want to do if you're the devil. The church is the only place the devil has any resistance. You think Hollywood resists the devil? No, all the devil's got to do is throw a little money at them and they'll do whatever. You think drug dealers do you think drug dealers ever have a moral conscience about what they're doing? No. They never use drugs. You know why? top-level drug dealers are very smart. They know drugs kill. They're not addicted to drugs. They're addicted to what?
Money.
Well, y'all said that one real quick. Because what are most of us addicted to? Here's what most of us, how many of y'all have ever heard this in Kentucky? Well, I tell you what, if I just won the lottery, everything would be all right. You know how many problems you'd have if you won the lottery? People be bugging you for money all the time. You'd want this and that and that and that, and then how many of y'all would get everything you want and you didn't like it? Some of y'all have done that before, you know. After you've been married 10 times, you probably can't find what you want. Have you noticed that? But I'm going to get something. Oh, I'm going to receive what God has given me and then live it out. That's the pattern of God. Look what he said. He said, Theophilus, I told you about Jesus. And look what he said. And to teach what Jesus taught until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now, here's what I want you to know. You ought to be glad this morning if you're living in the grace of God, because God chose to give that to you. Isn't that neat? Now, back in the 80s, I know some of y'all were back there in the 80s. You was with me in the 80s. Big hair, big cars. 80s. And we were all starting to seek God. That was a flaw. I got loving brothers that were into this, but I'm telling you, this messed a lot of things up. It was a devil setup. And I want to tell you what the devil will do. He'll set you up with good things. Hello? Everybody gets all torqued up about this. In the garden. Remember in the garden? Remember you got Adam and Eve. They're naked. Hello? They don't even know they're naked. They're naked and don't know they're naked. And Eve starts talking to a snake. So here's the problem. Nakedness in snakes always cause trouble. That's the original problem right there. Ain't nothing changed. It's always a snake. And the snake starts talking. What side of the tree did the snake tempt Eve to? Answer. Good side. See, now several of y'all knew that because you went where? To Bible study. See, the rest of you going, what's he talking about naked trees in the garden? I'd like to go to that. It's in the Bible. The Bible is rated R. But it's really rated UR. It's unrestricted to those that will listen to it. But Earl, we're scared of it. Disney wouldn't make a movie out of the Bible. They'd have to change it to make a movie out of it. Just like all the good church folks have done for about 200 years. Because see, the Bible doesn't line up with the Puritans. It doesn't line up with the Methodists. It doesn't line up with the Baptists. It doesn't line up with the Catholics. You got to bend it to fit the mold. And see, here's where we messed it up. We're not supposed to bend it to fit our mold. We're supposed to receive Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we might release his truth. There's no boundaries. In truth, there's no what? In fact, it says when you live in the truth, the power, and in God's love, and under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it says, against such things as these, there is no what? Freedom. And he says, so Theophilus, I'm going to expose you to God's activity and how God released his church. We're a part of this. Look at here. Now, know this. God chooses you. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Remember, Jesus was put to death. He arose from the grave. He goes back and he communicates to the apostles. And Jesus is a convincing proof of God's power to raise from the dead.
Now, check it out. Who do you think the convincing proof is today? You have become a part of convincing proof. Richard, you are convincing proof. We knew your wife was, but you too are convincing proof. Isn't that amazing? Just kind of whisper it to someone near you. Amy, just tell them, you are convincing proof. Come on, whisper it. Come on, whisper it. Y'all practice. Try this. You're not going to speak in tongues or anything. Just stay in English, okay? Here you go. Just try. You are a part of what? Yeah.
If you want to know there's a proof there's a Jesus Christ, look around. If you want to know Jesus' grace works, look right here. I promise you, nowhere on my high school resume was pastor a church. I wasn't like these little preacher boys that I sat in church and I looked at the pastor and said, oh man, I'd like to be one of those one day. That's not where I looked. I looked at the rich people in church and said, God, make me like that. I wasn't foolish. Daggum pastor driving a beat up Impala, deacons driving a Cadillac. I said, God, make me a deacon. Deacon living in the big house, pastor renting a house. I said, God, make me a deacon. Deacon got to smoke in public. Pastor had to sneak out back. Make me a deacon. That a little too real for y'all. That a little too real, isn't it? A little too real. Some of y'all going, you better get back in the text. Okay, I'm sliding back. Look at here. You are convincing proof that God's done a real thing. Amen? Now, I want you to receive that. He chose to save you, and he wants to live out of you. Not just in you, but what? Out of you. Now, y'all got the most. Now, you got to get ready for the book of Acts. You may not want to come back. The book of Acts, God's going to challenge you to be a part of his work. It's called what? Acts. If you notice, there's no book in the Bible called Book of Observations. We do not have Book of Analysis. God left that to theologians. We don't have Book of Speculations. But we do have Acts. Acts of the Spirit of God and those who are following God. Now, here's what I'm really calling us to do as a church. This could be real dangerous here. I'm kind of excited about it. It's time for us to act up. In fact, I was told all my life, quit what? Any of y'all ever hear that? Man, I heard it in church all the time. If you act up one more time. In fact, and guess what I'm telling you today? In fact, we need to act up for the first time. We need to act up with God's power, God's promise, God's hope, God's love, God's mercy, God's understanding of what he might do in the world. In fact, church, it's time to act up. In fact, Hillview, we hadn't acted up in a long time. I loved it. Somebody this morning said, well, I'm glad to see the seats are back to normal. That's just like telling Burr Rabbit, yeah, don't jump in the briars. Next week, I'm going to face them out the doors so y'all can see the real mission. Celebrate in here, live out there. Receive the power of God. Live out the power of God. You hear the rhythms in this text because I'm going to tell you what. We have been baptized and empowered with the purpose of God. Look what he says here. He said, now I want you to get this. You gotta realize you are proof of convincing the world that God is a reality. He appeared to them over a period of time, 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. I want you to get that for a minute. It's about the kingdom of what? God. It's not about Hillview Heights Church. I know I got some denominational folks here today. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Pentecostal. It's not about being a Lutheran. No, let me help you. It's really not about being that. Y'all grin like, well, he's just kind of kidding. No, I'm serious. That is a lie of hell. I've come to the part that this denominationalism, this splintering, is not only was it not dangerous, it was designed by the devil himself. Because what was God's purpose? He said, I want y'all to understand that every one of you are one in spirit. You are one in Christ. You are one in hope. You are one. So you know what the devil did? He said, I'll tell you what, I'll start splintering them because if they get splintered off and if they argue about things that aren't kingdom things, then they'll stay away from the things that are and I can do my work. Your pastor has this real problem. I can think like the devil. If I was the devil, I'd do just what he's done. I'd get good people who only thought about themselves to think they were saved. Because at that, I could stop anything. I'd let them throw hallelujah parties, read their text, read the Bible. I'd tell them to go to Bible study. I'd just tell them never release it. I'd tell them to know more and more and more, just never do anything about it. Because you know what? Knowledge that's not activated is useless. We have a lot of knowledgeable people in this world that have useless lives because they never respond to the truth they've been given. Let that not be us. Amen? How many of y'all got to know you got good news in your heart that wants to get out? How many of y'all even feel it sometimes wanting to get out? I mean, you'll be near somebody and you get ready to tell them, you know, I'm a follower of, I go to church. Go ahead and tell them, I follow Jesus Christ. I believe he's forgiven me. I know that he died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. And let me tell you what, I live that out in my life to the best of my ability. Well, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. You don't have to, but he believes that you're a sinner, and he believed enough that he died for you, and he believed enough that he's risen from the grave, and he really would like to be in your life. Well, I don't want to have any part of that. Well, fine, you can make that choice. But don't quit speaking just because some won't listen. Because guess what? Some will. Even an old father-in-law toward the end can receive his grace. You know what Jesus said to understand what's happened to you? On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now, we got to start here. We start and finish today with this. We begin to step into God's activity when we become willing to simply do what God says without any addendums. Here's what he said. Jesus said, now there will be this moment. He ascends into heaven. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. Do not leave what? But wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me what? Speak about. So I'm not giving you new knowledge, but I'm reminding you, I've told you to what? Wait. Now, what do most of us do? We are Americanized followers of Jesus Christ. What do we do? I promise you, as soon as the leaders of this group said, we need to go to Jerusalem. Crabtree, you can relate to this. I guarantee you there were two or three of them that wanted to plan a Samaria mission. See, most of us never see the glory of God because we'll never go where God tells us to go. We always have a better plan. I have a few times in my life that I've listened to God. You're one of them. I'm glad Elizabeth and I didn't go to Florida. Because you know what? I probably wouldn't be in the ministry now. I'd have messed up. God looked at Florida and he said, Ayers, we do not need to send you there. There are too many things that will distract you there. Yep. Because you know why I wanted to go to Florida? So I could water ski all year round. So I could ride my motorcycle when I wanted to ride my motorcycle. And you know, they didn't have snow. And I'm telling y'all, y'all better get saved. Because I have come to the determination, there is a snowy side of hell. And one side of hell just snows all the time. Slushy, black, dismal, gray snow. In fact, hell is so cold it appears to be hot. It's like dry ice coming up cold. Y'all ever heard somebody say it's cold as hell? It was Thursday. It was. You wake up in the morning, it's -2. I thought I died and ended up in Duluth, Minnesota. I thought, Lord have mercy. -2 degrees. Now, that didn't exist in the Garden of Eden. That came with the fall of sin. I stepped outside and I thought, you know, your nose hairs freeze. You know what I mean? I mean, when you got icicles up your nose, that's a bad thing. And the older you get, for some reason, God installs more filtration system than when you were younger. I felt like I had icicles hanging out of my nose. I even called Elizabeth on the cell phone. Honey, it's cold. Bad cold. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I said, I hope people don't freeze to death coming to the office today. Cold. Could I change that? No. Guess what God called me to on that cold day? To release his kingdom. The chaos of the circumstance does not dictate the truth of God. That's his message to us. He is God no matter what. Well, guess what he tells him? You go wait. I'm glad Elizabeth and I waited. We did one thing right. We went where God told us to go, even though we didn't want to go there. I'm glad Elizabeth married me. If she had thought about that, she'd have probably rethought. I tell her that all the time. Y'all ever rethought? I used to work with a farmer, and he goes, you need to rethought. I go, rethought? We didn't have computers yet. It's kind of like a reboot. He'd say, you need to rethought that, rethink that. But he called it a rethought. So I picked up on that and said, you know what? He's pretty smart. There's a lot of us that need to have a rethought. We had an original thought. We need to get a redeemed thought into the process. Amen? Something that's redeemed. Well, let's go on here for just a second. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Now, here's what I want you to know, and I got to speed up and get done. When God makes a promise, it will always happen. Is that good news to anybody? Did you hear what I just said? Y'all don't act like you even heard what I just said. When God makes a promise, it will always what? How many of y'all find that to be significantly joyful? Amen. You will one day, because guess what? God promised to save us. Amen. Now, when will that show up? See, when the day of judgment starts shaking, that's when the reality will come. Hmm? I guarantee you on the day of judgment, now, nobody's going to be worried about how they dressed. But they're going to think about their life. And if their life has been under the seal of the promise of God, guess what? Glory be to God. And if it hadn't, then you need to understand God's promise is good. He said he would save us. That's who we must trust. He said, you wait until my promise comes, which you have heard me speak about. So this is not new news. And he goes on and says this, for John baptized with water. Now, I want to get to these two baptisms. And I want you to understand some things, okay? I know there's many people that believe many different things about these things. I just want to give you the historical truth, okay? First of all, baptism was not new news to the Jews. They baptized all the time. If you go to the temple with me, I hope you get to do that one day. We get over there to Israel, okay? There are baptismal ritual bathing sites all around the temple. Because you would bathe to cleanse yourself before you stepped into the what? The presence of God. Now, this theologically causes a lot of problems for people who believe baptism will save you. Because if baptism will save you, then why didn't those baptisms save those folks? I asked my friends that believe that all the time. And they said, well, Brother Steve, you don't understand. You know, those were, I said, yeah, come on. I said, you're right. I know where you're going. Baptism became powerful because a Savior got baptized. And his name is Jesus. And so, y'all get a little louder than that. That's a golf clap. He didn't make a putt. He changed your life forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, you're right. And so salvation is in Jesus. Now, John baptized, calling people to repent of their sins, to be clean, to understand that God would clean you. And then he says, there's another baptism coming. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I come to baptize not with water, but with fire and what? Power. Now, you got to understand, the church is forming. Okay? Jesus has died. Jesus is risen. There is a difference, not of spirit, but of revelation of that spirit between the first covenant and the second covenant. In fact, I would propose to you, if you read closely, if you go to Bible study, you can see these things. Look at here. While Jesus is walking on earth, there's a difference in the power of the Holy Spirit while Jesus is walking and when Jesus is resurrected. So the intensity of the power of God's Holy Spirit awakens the church. And so here's what he's saying to these believers. You got to wait till you understand who's got a hold of you. Now, once you get empowered by the Holy Spirit, baptized in spirit means immersed and empowered in what? Spirit. Now you're empowered to do the work. Now, we've had a group for a while. Guess what? They went and chased baptism instead of lived out empowerment. The baptism, watch this. That's like getting a car that has a lot of horsepower. Sheriff, cover your ears. And never blowing it out every once in a while to see what it's got. I don't know about y'all. If I got a car and I know it's got something, every once in a while, I got to see what it's got. I just try to do that as long as there's no law enforcement in sight for a mile or two. How many of y'all have ever done that? Come on, you men. Come on. I know some of y'all have. I raced you. I loved it in high school. Yeah. Carrie, I had me a 357 Chevrolet dome pistons in that sucker, and I kept my car looking low-key. Pulled up to people, especially them 78 Trans Ams. People thought they was Burt Reynolds, Smokey and the Bandit back then. I'd pull up in that old Malibu, and it just looked like a grandmama's car. But it may have looked like a grandmama's car, but it was not your granny's car under the hood. Sheriff, we'd start there over at the old Grants right there, stoplight to stoplight. I bought a lot of hamburgers off that. Whoop! That reminds me of the church today. We're sitting here with full horsepower. Full horsepower of God. We've been baptized in God's power. God has baptized us with the promise of His Holy Spirit. He has empowered us for His work. And guess what we want to do? We want to have a committee meeting. We want to take a vote. We want to argue about, are there two baptisms or one baptism or three baptisms or a half a baptism? We want to argue about all of these things that God didn't put in the promise. You know what He put in the promise? The ability to release the kingdom on earth. I bet if we'd finally just do that, it'd clear up a lot of our petty arguing. What do you think? I don't think anybody has much to say when they're sitting in an upper room and tongues of fire come to light upon them and the wind is like a thundering tornado in that room. I don't think there's too many theologians going, well, I wonder if this was predestined, postdestined, or in the middle of a destined. But you know what? You always worry about stuff you can't figure out when you're unwilling to wait in Jerusalem. And you never see the power until you follow the instructions. Wait in what? Jerusalem. How many of y'all want to go to Judea before you get to Jerusalem? Jerusalem. The place God decided to move. Well, guess what? Jerusalem is everywhere now because of the power of that Holy Spirit. Make sense? It's everywhere. Now, here's what I believe. You can choose to believe differently on this. But I believe the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one, and I believe you get Him all at the same time. Here's what I believe. I believe I got every bit of horsepower of the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit's ever going to get me. I don't know what some of my friends are talking about. I'll go to these meetings, and they'll go, oh, Holy Spirit, come. And I want to go, He's here. That's not the problem. Here's what I have to really pray. Oh, God, give me the faith to step when you move. Because I don't know about y'all, sometimes I'd rather watch the Holy Spirit than participate with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all have ever done that altar? Dear God, I just want to praise you for just taking care of all those folks up there, them poor, lowly sinners up there confessing their sins. I'm glad I can sit here in my sin without participation. When the Lord's saying, you know, really, you need to be up there dealing with my empowering also. Does that make sense? So here's what I believe. I believe when you see baptisms up here, I believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have entered into you in full potential. Now, we spend the rest of our lives, and some of y'all are going, well, Pastor Ayers, I've heard people talk about a second blessing. Well, let me tell you how I explain that. I believe there is a second kind of moment, and here's what it is. You're realizing what happened to you the first time. I mean, I think that's what that really is. I've had third blessings, fourth blessings, fifth blessings. In fact, I'm on about my 7,000 blessing. As I live out life, the Holy Spirit, I go, whoa, I never knew that was there. And He goes, yeah, you did. You just never stepped into it. You're right, Lord. I was scared what it'd do to me. It might make me holy. It might set me apart. It might make me unacceptable to my friends. But you know what else it might do? Just might make me an illustration of your power and resurrection. Amen. Y'all heard the grace of God today? The truth of God today? God wants us to release this place. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you we could sit and soak till the good ship Lollipop came by to pick us up. Although I struggle with God hoovering us up, so that's going to be a little problematic. In fact, one of my friends in seminary said, Harris, what are you going to do if we're being hoovered up? I'm going to thank God that y'all were right. Let me tell you what. Historically, I've never seen God remove us out of the chaos. This is the problem I got. I've never seen God take his people out of chaos. You know why? We're chaos proof. We might get killed, but we go on to heaven. We're chaos proof. When you get saved, you get chaos proof. You can go through it. Started this message with two things. There will always be chaos in the world, and there will always be salvation to the end of the age. Some of you today need to step into God's salvation. God brought you here to hear one thing. You have sinned, and God wants to forgive you. You are separated from God, and God wants you to be separated no longer. Today's the day, not tomorrow, today. Some of you need to be baptized. God moved on you last week. You almost got up here. It's time to get that taken care of. Have y'all noticed we're not playing at all? Give me a head nod or something. Have y'all noticed? Coach, have you noticed there's a level of intensity that's... You know, when I coach, that happens, Lucas. When I coach, I say, you know, you need to go make the tackle, and it's absolutely necessary you make the tackle. Today, it is absolutely necessary you reckon with God. If the Middle East can spin on a total cycle in less than 7 days and reorient itself, you better pay attention because things are going to change faster than you think they are. And guess what some of y'all going to be doing? You were getting around to it. Some of y'all will be in hell because you were getting around to it. You'll be down there in hell with all the good people. Y'all can smoke then. Y'all can just sit around hell. Maybe you can have Sunday school or something in hell. You can talk about all God could have done for you. You can look up into heaven and see a bunch of heathen sinners who were great people that cussed and drank and smoked, but they came to this one conclusion. They said, Dear God, I know that I haven't done it right, but I believe you are the God Almighty, the beginning and the end, and you're my only hope, my only salvation, and my only way, and I throw my miserable life at your feet, hoping that you'll pick it up, wash it clean, and give it back to me. And they've done that, and they will rejoice in the glory of God. And there'll be a bunch of folks. Amen. There'll be a bunch of folks. Listen. I can't take care of the bunch of folks, but I sure can talk to the ones I'm looking at today and give you one great message. You don't have to be there. This is what I love about the gospel. Nobody has to go to hell. If it's on good works, how would you all fare out? Who, me either? Lord have mercy. When I lay my resume out before God, it's pretty weak. Especially when I look at the Ten Commandments. God says, have you always honored me, heirs? No. Heirs, have you ever lusted in your heart? Do blondes count, Lord? Heirs, have you ever stole anything? Well, Lord, just that one time, but it was real quick and I gave it back. What was the answer to that? Yes. Lord, Ayers, let me ask you a question. Has your mouth always pleased me? Have you always said words that I would be honored by? Lord, do we have a B question? Don, I don't fare real well. So since I don't fare real well, it brought me to this point. Praise be to Jesus Christ that he gave us his grace and that he has a baptism of grace that not only saves us, but empowers us to become a work of his grace. And I pray that you'll receive that today. I pray that you come and talk about baptism today. I pray that you'll come and say, God, now, Red, this is a gutsy prayer. Make me a part of the what? Resurrection. You are proof God is real. I'm telling you, we ain't going to argue it. Lord have mercy. Theologians have been arguing at schools. They've been arguing on TV. They'll argue all the time. You know what shuts up an argument? Proof. Some of y'all went to school with me. Y'all know there's only one way I'm preaching. And it wasn't because I was a good boy. It's because Jesus Christ saved everything in my life. That's it. My own father will tell you that. When I started preaching, I was out at Smith's Grove preaching, that beautiful church out there at Smith's Grove. They let me loose out there. I was young, had a mullet, loved Jesus. I'm preaching. This older lady came back. My father had gone with me to the revival service. And she looked back and she said, Reginald, you ought to be proud of him. And he said, let me tell you, it's God, because he could have just as easily been in jail. He's right. See, I was glad to be raised in the truth. It's by the grace of God I am where I am. So I hope you will get there too. By the grace of who? By the grace of Jesus. By the grace of God. Well, let's see. We'll have an altar call. There are going to be some people get saved. I'm going to ask you to do some things. We're changing just a few things around here. I do not need you to bail. Oh, you can go ahead and stand up. That's awesome. All right. I just kind of want to help us at altar call. We've gotten a little loose. Mike, we've gotten a little loose at altar call. Okay. I've talked to our pastor. Listen, they'll take care of your kids. I want y'all to focus here for a few minutes instead of hitting these doors. Balcony, y'all are bad about this, okay? This is not a come get it and exit church. If you need a church like that, our community has 123 of them available. They'll be done in an hour. You'll get 3 points and appointment out. It's like a quick car wash. This is a detail shop. We're going to let God search every detail. If you need to come to Jesus, for those of you that are believers right now, guess what? Your heart ought to be yearning, saying, God, whoever is not connected in this place, that today they'll be connected. If you've never been baptized, it's time to get that taken care of. Some of you all heard clearly. Listen, if you've been baptized as an infant, it's a great way as an adult to connect what your parents were after. That'll really be a tremendous blessing to you. All right, church. My prayer is we become God's activity, his loving hands, his powerful feet, his words of wisdom. And let's just take a minute and say, God, you know what? I received the empowering of the Holy Spirit you have delivered in me. And now we got to release it. Pray with me. Lord, we ask that you break the chains of sin, deception, immorality, untruths, lies about ourselves. I just pray that you break those right now in the power of the Spirit. Open the ears, Lord, of those who can hear grace. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm going to ask you to just start coming forward, because guess what? God has already saved you in Jesus. He's saving you. He's calling you. And just tell him, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know the things I have messed up on. And I know that, Lord, you don't want them in my life. And so, God, I want to give you my life. I repent. I tell you, I'm sorry. I believe you died on the cross, Jesus. You've risen from the grave. And I ask you to come into my life. See what happens. I'm telling you, he'll empower you immediately. If you know God's calling you to do that, come on. We want to talk to you. We want to celebrate with you. We can't save you, but we can sure celebrate with you. If you know you need to be baptized, that's important here. If you haven't gotten that done, in the name of Jesus, please get that done. It's time to grow. Come on, church. We learned today, God's activity is for real. Let this altar be your Jerusalem. God is moving. Will you receive his movement? So in the name of Jesus, as people are coming forward, we just ask God to bless you. We ask God to empower you. We pray that you would be saved. We pray that you would confess sin. We pray that you just let God have this altar. And whatever needs to be done, it'd be done. So in the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Come. And as you come, may the Lord just touch you and bless you right now. Come on, church. Come on, don't stand there today. Let's let this thing go. Let's have church like God has called us to have church. Let's be saved. Let's be baptized. Let's be obedient to God and see what happens.